Well, let's open to prayer. Dear gracious Father, you have blessed us with a beautiful morning. We are thankful that you have brought us together this morning as we study your word, continuing to learn more about you and our relationship with you. This morning, as we start a new topic, we just pray, Lord, that you would enlighten our hearts with your word, that we can apply to our lives, not just today, but throughout the week. We thank you, Lord, for your precious name. In this we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Jerry is doing better. He is home. It's just going to take a little time for him to get his energy back and strength. He's getting up and around and walking. They took out a pretty good section of his colon and put it back together.
And that's the most.
So it's just going to take him a little while. And I hope it's sooner than later. So. But at any rate, I get to start his new class.
Yeah.
It's Redemption Accomplished and Applied by John Murray.
Did the books arrive?
Books are $13, and I have them up here in a box and give them to you at the end of class.
Gotcha.
Okay? And you can make out the check to the church in the bottom left-hand corner of the check where it says memo, just right in their class book. So then Chris Saunders knows when they do checks. So the book itself starts out with the first four chapters on atonement. And so I thought today would be a good day to rehash, to look back over what the Day of Atonement was in the Old Testament.
Okay.
So if you will turn to Leviticus chapter 16. The Jewish people of today still celebrate the Day of Atonement. They call it Yom Kippur. It is the last day of 10 days of repentance. The first day of those 10 days is Rosh Hashanah, which is the first of the year. And then 10 days of repentance, and then Yom Kippur comes to the end of that. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year, falls on the first and the second of Tishri of the Jewish calendar. Rosh Hashanah is the birthday of the world. To the Jews, the year is not 2024, but 5,783. Their calendar is on a lunar calendar, not on a solar calendar. So at times they may have 13 months every two or three years to compensate for a leap year. So then they can always calculate when Yom Kippur is going to be and when Rosh Hashanah is going to be. So, small on Jewish history. There's a lot to cover. Leviticus chapter 16. But there is an introductory to this particular section. And if you'll turn back to Leviticus chapter 10. Aaron has a couple sons. Actually, he has four. These two, you'll see what happens. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. If you don't do it God's way, face the consequences. Verse 3. Then Moses said to Aaron, "It is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy. And before all the people, I will be honored." What God says, it's customary that you do. Now, Leviticus chapter 16. On the board, I put some key words as we read through these two chapters, 16 and 17. There will be some key words that have come out quite often. Atonement, blood, cleanse, holy faith, holy place, which is the Holy of Holies. Sin is a big word in there. Die is also another word often spoke. Sin offering, burnt offering, veil, ark, and mercy seat. Pardon?
Mercy.
Mercy seat. Okay. You have the Ark of the Covenant, the box containing the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod, and some samples of manna. And on top of that was the mercy seat. It had the two large cherubims on each end facing each other. And that's where God sat. His mercy, that's where he depicted. The tabernacle itself was arranged where it faced east and west, long ways this way. Facing the east, the rising of the sun, and then penetrating in through the curtain gate on the east end, and then shining in on the temple itself, tabernacle. Okay? Have that in mind. Chapter 16, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they had approached the presence of the Lord and died. You'll find that there's a sequence of things that God likes to have done. Number one, always remember, he's holy.
Yeah.
He's sovereign. He can do what he wants, but there's ways of doing it.
Yeah.
And God appreciates it when you do it his way. Verse 2, the Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat which is on the ark, or he will die. For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. Priests don't come in empty-handed. You go in to see God. In the presence of God, you take an offering with you. You can only go in one at a time. And that was formerly the priests that would do that. Okay? Verse 3. Aaron shall enter the holy place with this, with a bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen tunic, and the linen undergarment shall be next to his body, and he shall be girded with a linen sash and attired with a linen turban. These are holy garments. Then he shall bathe his body in water and put them on. It almost sounds backwards. You would think he would bathe first and put on the clothes, but the way it was written, well, you understand. It's basically what the text is about. I'm sorry?
Is it like laying them on the bed before you take, you know, put them on?
Yeah.
Now, are these bull, the bull and the ram, are they alive, or is he having to haul these critters in? I'm a practical person. I want to know.
It's him.
Bring them in that way.
Somebody brings them to the tent gate.
And then.
Okay. And then gotcha. Brings them in. Okay?
Things work.
This is you might consider this like a large play, and this is broken down in scenes. So what we have here is the preparation of what to do with the sacrifice that's going to take place on the inside. Okay? So here is section one, preparation, introduction, so to speak. Verse 5. He shall take the congregation of the sons of Israel, two male goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering. Then Aaron shall offer the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household. Okay? So there's the purpose of the bull. As for Aaron, his family, his household. Verse 7. He shall take two goats and present them before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of the meeting. Verse 8. Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for a scapegoat. In other words, he flipped the coin. The two goats were the same as far as appearance, and there was a purpose. One was for a sacrifice, and the other one is to be as a scapegoat. And the text will explain that in a minute. Verse 9, then Aaron shall offer the goat on which the lot of the Lord fell and make it a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot for the scapegoat fell shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, to send it into the wilderness as a scapegoat. It's most fitting that a week after Easter, we can now look at the atonement, and we can review what the atonement was in the Old Testament and what the atonement is for us through Jesus Christ. And it's good that we follow this up and expound on it in the book that John Murray wrote that we'll get into next week. Any questions so far? All right. So what we have is the introduction. We have scene one. Now we're on to scene two, verse 11. Then Aaron shall offer the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his household. It doesn't say his family, but his household. His household could have contained slaves or workers or some other people. The text will also may call them sojourners, depending on what your translation is. And that's people that may not be Israelite by birth, but they have picked them up along the way. Mm-hmm. Somebody along the way said, these people got something going for them. Mm-hmm. Their God is a very powerful God, and I think I'm going to tag along with them. And so they'll call them sojourners, people traveling with them. Verse 12, he shall take a fire pan full of coals of the fire from upon the altar, which the Lord and the two handfuls of finely ground sweet incense, and bring it inside the veil. There was a piece of equipment that was on the outside of the veil that was an incense burner. They didn't take that thing inside the veil. What they had was, for Roman Catholic purposes, they had an incense burner. It would be round, flat, metal, put ashes on the inside of it with the sweet incense on the inside of it. And that's what he carried inside the veil. Okay? He didn't carry a great big incense altar, but that's where he got the coals from. Everything has a purpose when it comes to the Lord.
You know, if you did that in steps, like trying to haul a goat and a bull and incense and the tools to cut them up, when is he doing this in steps, or is he just somehow managing to gather them all at once and run in?
It's just too practical. So we're trying to figure out how to do
it. Okay. Here's the east. Here's the curtain here. This was the altar where the animals would have been cut up. Here's an altar for incense burning. Here's the veil. And here on the inside is the holy place. Inside here is the Holy of Holies. This is the holy place. This is the Holy of Holies. Okay. The sacrifice is done here. Blood from there would be taken inside. We'll get into that.
I thought the incense was needed.
Not that Aaron stunk or anything. He bathed. Remember now, he bathed.
It's a slaughterhouse.
Yeah, it's a slaughterhouse.
So the bull and the goats that were being offered up, I mean, there was a specific step. I mean, so it was the bulls before the goats, or
the priest was purified first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sanctified first. Atonement means cover in Hebrew language. So the atonement was to cover the sins of the people, as we'll find in the latter part of the text. Okay. All sounds like Jesus Christ, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Verse 13. He shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the ark of the testimony, otherwise he will die. Okay? Putting the incense on the coals inside this canister produce smoke. The smoke was to cover the priest's eyes so that he would not see the presence of God. Mm-hmm. You see God, you die. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's all the way back to Moses at that time, the children of Israel. Okay? You see him, you die. He's just that awesome. That was just one of his things. Okay? Verse 14. Moreover, he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side. Also in front of the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. So he's very specific. Not going like this. But there was a purpose. Okay. Seven times. Alright. Verse 15. Then he shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. So, sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat and in front of it.
Okay, question.
Sure.
He goes out to where he slaughters each time. Does he have to bring incense in each time, or does the incense hang inside the Holy of Holies long enough for him to do these?
As long as you've got enough incense and those coals are great enough to cause smoke so you don't see the presence of God, you'll have to decide whether you can make it in two trips.
Does he hang the incense burner? Is there some... I don't remember reading about...
We don't know. Okay? We don't know. What kind of container did he put the blood in? Don't know. Okay.
Except it probably was made of gold. Yeah. Or acacia wood covered with gold.
Yeah, acacia wood covered with gold.
And after what happens with plunge, you better get it right.
Yeah. You only have one, you only make one mistake.
Yeah.
And you pay for it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So, there's no hurry. There's no need to hurry. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're focused and you know you've got God on your mind, you just don't hurry and make any decisions. Yes.
A little bit off topic, but I understand that they would tie a rope to the high priest's ankle in case something happened to him, because they could not go inside to get it, and they would pull it out. No,
that is tradition, but it's been proven by Jewish scholars that somebody made that up. That it's not. That's not the truth. Yeah, I did study because I wanted to know, but it's a tradition that started much later, or the story started much later. But it's not part of the Jewish ceremony.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, but because if God zapped you or you had a heart attack or whatever, there's probably nothing left but a singed rope, assuming.
Mm-hmm. When you think of what happened to Aaron's first two sons.
Yeah.
Verse 16. He shall make atonement for the holy place, because of the impurities of the sons of Israel, and because of their transgressions in regard to all their sins, and thus he shall do for the tent of meeting which abides with them in the midst of their impurities. So, who's he making sacrifices for first?
Himself.
Okay?
The priest. Himself.
Then who?
The people.
Then who?
The temple.
Okay.
The tent. Yeah.
Why does it say you have to purify the temple? Because the temple is in the midst of sinful people. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we got to purify everything. Everything. Verse 18. Then he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord, and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar on all sides. With his finger he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it seven times and cleanse it, and from the impurities of the sons of Israel consecrated. So he's trying to cover, God wants all bases covered. Right? He wants everything to be holy before him. Everything has to be holy. God wants to be honored.
So the atonement for the temple is basically off of the goat. It's like the blood of the goat covered the people, and then also the atonement for the temple?
Let's go back. Verse 15.
Right.
Then he shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people.
Right.
Bring its blood inside the veil, and do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. 16. He shall make atonement for the holy place because of the impurities of the sons of Israel, because of their transgressions in regard to all their sins. And thus he shall do for the tent of meeting, which abides with them in the midst of their impurities.
Okay, if I understood that, I wouldn't be asking this question.
Okay.
It sounds like he's going in one time. Is he going in like twice, once for the people, once for the temple, or is he doing it concurrently?
First one is for the bull. That's for himself and his household.
That. Okay. And then he goes
the next time is with the goats, and that is for the people. He'll also go in again for the holy place, for the tent of meeting. So each time he goes in, each time separately.
Okay. So when he goes in for the temple, though, is he using the blood from the goats?
From the goats. Yes.
Okay, that's what I was trying to figure out.
Okay. Then he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and the blood of the goats and put it on the horns of the altar on all sides. With his finger he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it seven times and cleanse it, and from the impurities of the sons of Israel consecrate it. Verse 20. When he finishes atoning for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall offer the live goat. We finally get to that poor live goat. He's probably standing over there in a corner shaking in his boots. Am I next?
And that other goat that got away, he's moving, buddy.
Oh, this is him. This is the live goat. The first goat was sacrificed. Now we get to the live goat. Remember, there was two goats at the beginning.
What was the scapegoat?
That's what this guy is.
It was basically just a play on words. He didn't get away.
Not yet. Okay. You ever read a newspaper story? Not from our local newspaper, but from Atlanta Journal or Asheville Citizen or some of them. You read this article about something that has happened, and in the first paragraph, you'll get a quick synopsis of what has happened. And then as you read through the article, the writer, will bring you back and give you a little bit more detail of what he said in that opening. He wanted to catch your interest first so you don't put the newspaper down. You don't go back to the sports section or the obituaries. He wants you to read his section first.
He does a summary.
It's a summary. Look at the first four chapters of the book of Genesis. Basically the same thing. It looks like two creations, but it's not. We're just going to reemphasize a little bit more in detail what happened on those first 6-7 days. Okay? All right, verse 20, when he finishes atoning for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall offer the live goat. 21, then Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the sons of Israel and all their transgressions in regard to all their sins. And he shall lay them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of the man who stands in readiness. So there was somebody that was assigned to take the goat out to the gate and let him go. and pray that that goat has bad memory from where he came from and does make a U-turn and come back in. Okay? And goes off. Verse 22, the goat shall bear on itself all the iniquities and go to a solitary land. And he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Then Aaron shall come into the tent of meeting, take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. He shall bathe his body with water in a holy place, and put on his clothes, and come forth and offer his burnt offering and his burnt offering of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. Then he shall offer up in smoke the fat of the sin offering on the altar. The blood and the fat were the two things you use out of the sacrifice. The rest of it we will read is carcass and taken on the outside and burned in a pit. Okay? So fat and blood. Okay. 26. The one who released the goat as a scapegoat shall wash his clothes, bathe his body with water, then afterward he shall come into the camp. So it was something for him he needed to do. He needed to bathe, change his clothes for what he had done, because he had become unclean. Okay. 27. Both the bull of the sin offering and the goat of the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be taken outside the camp, and they shall burn their hides, their flesh, their refuse in the fire. There was a pit that was designated on the outskirts of the temple area, and that's where the carcasses were burned, going everything out there. 28. Then the one who burns them will wash his clothes, bathe his body with water, then afterwards he shall come into the camp. Can you see the great need for the preciousness of water?
Yeah.
Would have to be bathed, and this sacrifice, the Day of Atonement, happened once a year, but all the other sacrifices that were done, sometimes in the morning, sometimes in the evening, at other times, you have 2 or 3 million people that are traveling these 40 years, and people want sacrifices made for different things. Pastor Christian started with Leviticus chapter 1 and went in for the first 2 or 3 chapters talking about all the different offerings. If you're curious, read that for next week. And so all that was brought in. Everything had to be washed. Everything had to be cleaned. Water, water, water. Besides what needed to have for just their simple, their own bathing at home in their tents and something to drink. So water was precious.
And doesn't this point to Jesus, the living water?
Yes.
It's so precious. Yeah. It's amazing how much of the everyday details of the stuff they did. You think about it in that frame. It's just like, okay, what significance is water? Jesus said, I am the living water. You know, there's just so much to it.
Mm-hmm. Along with the bread of life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Verse 29. This shall be a permanent statute for you in the seventh month of the tenth day of the month. You shall humble your souls and not do any work, whether the native or the alien who sojourns among you. The humbling of your souls is sometimes referred to as fasting. Day of Atonement was the only, at that time, the only required day by God for fasting. There were 2 or 3 others that were added later into New Testament time that required fasting. The Pharisees, they fasted twice a day.
Twice a day?
Twice a week. Okay. It'd be pretty thin if it was twice a day.
One meal.
Yeah.
Every day.
No fat guys in that group.
No.
Okay. Verse 30. For it is on this day that atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean from all your sins before the Lord. Easter, sunrise. It is to be a Sabbath, a solemn rest for you, that you may humble your souls. It is a permanent statute. So the priest who is anointed and ordained to serve as priest in his father's place shall make atonement. He shall thus put on the linen garments, the holy garments, and make atonement for the holy sanctuary. And then he shall make atonement for the tent of meeting, for the altar. He shall also make atonement for the priest and for all the people of the assembly. Now you shall have this as a permanent statute to make atonement for the sons of Israel for all their sins once every year. And just as the Lord had commanded Moses, so he did. Okay? Chapter 17. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and to his sons, and to all the sons of Israel, and say to them, This is what the Lord has commanded, saying, Any man from the house of Israel who slaughters an ox or a lamb or a goat in the camp, or who slaughters it outside the camp, and has not brought it to the doorway of the tent of meeting to present it as an offering to the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood guiltlessness is to be reckoned to that man. He has shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among the people. Now, you could slaughter a bull or a goat for food for your house. That was fine, but you needed to bring it to the tent. You could sacrifice it there. You could have the food to take home, the meat to take home to your family, but the blood had to stay at the temple. There was a reason for that. He didn't want them to go hungry, but it wasn't very often that people ate meat anyway. Okay.
Steve, where did they put that blood? If you were killing it for your family and you had to take the blood, would you take it into the Holy of Holies? Not the Holy of Holies, but the Holy inside the tent?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It all had been presented to God.
A little farther down.
Before the altar. Okay.
That's answered down on verse 6.
Okay?
Okay, thanks.
That's a lot of blood.
It is. And especially when, you know, we haven't talked about Passover yet. Okay. Passover was already, had already taken place. Okay? Going back to Exodus. This is still a continuation of explaining to the children of Israel what is to take place. Holidays, so to speak, the offerings that were to take place, all the intricate detail of what they needed to do in order to remain holy before a holy God.
So all the everyday blood that was flowed was taken into the holy place or the Holy of Holies?
Holy of Holies.
I thought it could only enter the Holy of Holies once a year.
The priest.
Right.
Yeah. On this particular sacrifice, yes. Right.
But when they drained blood like they were going to eat it for food, they just took it into the holy place?
Yes.
The holy place.
I'm sorry, the holy place.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how they would drain the blood. If you ever been to a slaughterhouse, it would be amazing to figure out how they've done it. But the animals owned with a communal property, I mean, there's like a herd of that they took from.
Yes. Those individuals that may have had herds, when the people traveled, it wasn't that they moved every day. Sometimes they would stay in one spot for a particular time, find some grazing land, because they couldn't always take grain with them to feed their animals. And the next thing that they needed more than anything else was finding water. And may have stayed in that particular spot for a while. You can only carry so much water with you, you know, as you travel.
The average in the United States now, so you compare to that, were 50 gallons a day the average family uses.
Really?
So you can imagine what they had to carry.
Yeah. That's a lot of flushing.
I was thinking.
Pardon? Flushing a cookie.
I have a crazy imagination. Well,
yeah. All right. Verse 5, the reason is so that the sons of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which were sacrificing in the open field, that they may bring it into the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting to the priests, and sacrifice them as sacrifices of peace offerings to the Lord. The priest shall sprinkle the blood on the altar of the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting, offer up to the fat and the smoke as a soothing aroma to the Lord. They shall no longer sacrifice their sacrifices to the goat demons, which is where they played, which they play the harlot. This was a permanent statute to them throughout their generations. The goat demons was something that was local in the area at that time, and sacrifices may have been by the pagans in the area to ward off the goat demons. Exactly what they were, I do not know.
Well, don't they, when they take pictures of what Satan looks like, it kind of looks like a goat.
Mm-hmm. Huh? I haven't seen a picture of Satan like.
Well, they, what these, they, Satanists,
what, they draw up,
what these Satanists worship, mm-hmm. it looks like a goat.
Looks like a goat. Verse 8. Then you shall save them any man from the house of Israel or from the aliens who sojourn among them who offers a burnt offering or sacrifice and does not bring it to the doorway of the tent of meeting to offer it to the Lord. That man shall also be cut off from his people. That's pretty harsh. You're either cut off from your own people, you're excommunicated and, you know, sent away from your tribe, from your people, that you couldn't travel with them anymore. Well, it would be worse, that or just die. Verse 10, and any man from the house of Israel or from the aliens who sojourn among them who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats the blood and will cut him off from among the people. Verse 11. You're going to circle any verse. There you go. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. Okay? The shedding of blood. Verse 12. Therefore I said to the sons of Israel, no person among you may eat blood, nor may any alien who sojourns among you eat blood. So when any man from the sons of Israel or from the aliens who sojourn among them in hunting catches a beast or a bird which may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it on the earth. So if you find one along the way, that's fine. Drain it into the ground and then cover it up. Now, can you really eat blood? You can drink it for sure. Can you eat it? Yeah.
A rare snake will do that.
Blood pudding.
Pardon?
It's blood. Meat without drinking. Yeah. There'll be blood in the meat if you don't drink it.
Well, I'll say this. You cook my steak done, you can keep it.
Verse 14. For as for the life of all flesh, its blood is identified with its life. Therefore I said to the sons of Israel, you are not to eat the blood of the flesh, for the life of all the flesh is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. When any person eats an animal which dies or is torn by beast, whether he is a native or an alien, he shall wash his clothes, bathe in water, and remain unclean until evening, when he will become clean. In other words, don't eat roadside kill.
Yeah.
Okay? Because you don't know if the blood has been all drained out or not. That's the key. If it hasn't, and you eat some of that, that makes you unclean until evening. Okay? 16. But if he does not wash them or bathe his clothes, then he shall bear his guilt. Now, any questions?
Yes, I have a question.
Okay.
Once they settled in Israel, did each like city have a place where if people were going to eat meat, they could take it to have the blood drain from the animals?
There was a lot of things that changed with the building of the temple in Jerusalem.
Right.
And there was still the Day of Atonement took place there.
Right, but on everyday living, we're in, while they're all traveling together, they have a tent they can go to and the priest drains the blood. I'm not picturing everybody, once they settle into all these cities, bringing their animals to Jerusalem to get them drained. So did each city...
Sacrifices were done in Jerusalem.
Right.
The local synagogues were just meeting places. Passover was done at home.
Right. But if they were supposed to drain the blood of their animals before they ate the meat...
The blood was put in the ground and covered up.
Right. Each area had a place, each city or each... wherever these people settled. They didn't all bring them back to Jerusalem to have this done.
No.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. There was, each place had like a designated area.
She wants to know if they had a processing plant.
So to speak.
Like an ancient sort of one.
Yes.
In the outskirts of Jerusalem, you know, on every day, on a Wednesday, did they bring their animals back to the temple every single time they would have been?
That I do not know.
Be pretty crowded at the door. Everybody's at the door of the tent.
Sure.
Millions of people.
People were at Moses' tent to take their problems to them. And they'd be lined up for days. So finally his father-in-law said, I have an idea for you.
And he said,
okay.
It is a lie.
Based on what the Lord is talking about, when I heard you reading, when the people wanted meat to eat just for themselves, they could do that any place. It was only when they were doing it as an offering that they shouldn't do it out in the field, that they had to bring it into the temple.
You can bring it to the temple entrance.
Yeah.
It would be slaughtered on the inside there.
Right.
You take that home, the blood and the fat stayed in the temple tabernacle area.
So you're saying even if they just wanted some meat, they still had to bring it to the temple to be slaughtered? Because to me it just said if they were doing it as an offering was when they had to bring it in. Just normal eating it, it didn't say that. Mm-hmm.
I mean, 17 verse 3. It just says if they just kill it.
Chuck?
I was going to say, if they slaughtered an animal for their own personal use, they would dig a hole next to where they slaughtered the animal. They would drain the blood there. That was in the instructions here in Leviticus 17. They drained the blood into that hole and they covered it up. Mm-hmm. That is sufficient for the personal slaughter of an animal, because that the blood was the life of the animal, and it was life for life. They would take the blood and they would put it in the hole and they would cover up the hole, and that would satisfy God. If they were doing an offering, they had to go to Jerusalem, they had to go to the temple.
In 17:3, they mention killing the animal, but nothing about the sacrifice. But then in 17:5, they state this is to end the people of Israel offering sacrifices out in the field. So it kind of ties it together. That's probably related to sacrifices, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's always a reason why God wants things done His way. And as we see through 16 and 17, we see this all pinpointing and pointing us towards Jerusalem, 33 AD, sacrifice and the celebration that we had last Sunday with Easter, shedding of blood for us. And that happened all the way back through, when was the first shedding of blood?
Genesis.
Yeah, Genesis. Everybody remember when?
Yeah.
Okay. They made their own fig leaves cover up their sin.
God made the
skin offerings because of the shedding of blood. All right. Oh, 10 o'clock. Okay. This gets us a little bit of background as we get into John Murray's book. The first four chapters having to do with redemption. The books are $13. It'd be nice if you had a check and just, if you don't have $13, bring it next week. You know, I'm not going to forbid you from getting a book if you don't have money today. Bring it next week, and that's fine, a week after. And you can't afford a book, that's fine. Take a book anyway, please. So you can read ahead. Next week, read chapter one. You can read as much as you want, but at least read chapter one for next week. Okay? Murray is a little bit different read than John C. Sproul.
Yeah.
You may find yourself reading it twice in order to go back. That's me.
That's me.
That's him. I have to do that sometimes to, and then I have to go back and read it again. Okay. Anything else this morning before we close? Okay. I got the books up here. Don't knock me over. Dear gracious Father, we are thankful for this day that you have blessed us with. We thank you, Lord, for just the blessing of the atonement. Jesus Christ shedding his blood for remission of our sins. We are thankful, Lord. We pray that we can remember that each and every day of our lives. But we are sinners. We seek your forgiveness for the times that we err. Lord, this week, when given the opportunity, send someone across our path that we can share with them your good news of what you have done for us. In your precious name we pray. Amen.